It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, natural intelligence, which is actually where some computer scientists are looking for inspiration to design the next generation of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, so African dung beetles, they roll up balls of feces and balls of dung and roll them away as quickly as they can.
Because even the smallest creatures on Earth can execute some amazing feats.
So they're standing on their head, they're rolling the ball of dung with their hind legs, and they're using various cues to roll in a straight line. If they're nocturnal, they're known to use moonlight to be able to make sure that they're going in a straight line. And I wouldn't be able to roll anything standing on my head.
This is Francis Chance.
Sahara Desert ants, when they find food and they want to bring it back to their nest, they know how to calculate the straightest path back to their nest.
Francis sounds like an entomologist.
Oh, and honeybees. You know, they also forage.
But she's actually a computational neuroscientist. At Sandia National Laboratories, she researches how natural intelligence can help develop new security technology. For example, what missile defense systems might learn from the dragonfly.
So they're very good at what they do.
These graceful, flittering creatures also use a very special technique to hunt.
Dragonflies are really good at hunting. We know that they fly to intercept their prey. They fly really fast, and they're very successful. It's known that dragonflies catch up to 95% of the prey that they choose to go after. And even though they're really fast, they don't just fly straight at their prey. They fly on an interception pathway, which means they're aiming slightly ahead of where their prey are.
So is that like Gretzky, the hockey great, saying like, don't go to where the puck is, go to where the puck is going to be?
Exactly. We need to aim ahead of where the puck is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dragonfly is constantly reacting to changes of the prey's direction or the prey's speed to calculate how far ahead of the prey they need to aim.
By understanding how these nearly instantaneous calculations happen in the dragonfly's brain, Francis hopes to build AI that mimics it and is just as efficient. Here she is on the TED stage.
So when dragonflies are hunting, they do more than just fly straight at the prey. They fly in such a way that they will intercept it. They aim for where the prey is going to be. To do this correctly, dragonflies need to perform what is known as a coordinate transformation, going from the eye's frame of reference, or what the dragonfly sees, to the body's frame of reference, or how the dragonfly needs to turn its body to intercept. And dragonflies are fast. This means they calculate fast. The latency, or the time it takes for a dragonfly to respond once it sees the prey turn, is about 50 milliseconds. So in the brain, a computational step is a single neuron or a layer of neurons working in parallel. It takes a single neuron about 10 milliseconds to add up all its inputs and respond. The 50 millisecond response time means that once the dragonfly sees its prey turn, there's only time for maybe four of these computational steps or four layers of neurons working in sequence one after the other to calculate how the dragonfly needs to turn. In other words, the neural circuit that I need to understand can have at most four layers of neurons. This is a small neural circuit, small enough that we can identify it and study it with the tools that are available today. And this is what I'm trying to do. I have built a model of what I believe is the neural circuit that calculates how the dragonfly should turn. In a computer simulation, I can predict the activities of individual neurons while the dragonfly is hunting. To test the model, my collaborators and I are now comparing these predicted neural responses with responses of neurons recorded in living dragonfly brains. These are ongoing experiments in which we put living dragonflies in virtual reality. Now, it's not practical to put VR goggles on a dragonfly. So instead, we show movies of moving targets to the dragonfly, while an electrode records activity patterns of individual neurons in the brain. If the responses that we record in the brain match those predicted by the model, we will have identified which neurons are responsible for coordinate transformations. The next step will be to understand the specifics of how these neurons work together to do the calculation. But this is how we begin to understand how brains do basic or primitive calculations.
So you are building computer models based on the dragonfly's brain that can intercept things in just a few steps. The dragonfly, it must be doing really complicated math really fast. Is that what you are trying to figure out, those calculations?
Yeah, so what I'm really interested in are what are the fundamental operations that neurons are capable of, or what are the fundamental operations that neurons do. And that's what I want to bring to a computer. It may be something like basic trigonometry, or it may be something that's kind of a different type of math than we're used to thinking about. But that's what we're trying to understand, because if we can understand the operations, then we can begin to understand what the algorithms or, say, the computer programs of the brain are.
The way that these neurons compute may be different from anything that exists on a computer today. And the goal of this work is to do more than just write code that replicates the activity patterns of neurons. We aim to build a computer chip that not only does the same things as biological brains, but does them in the same way as biological brains. This could lead to drones driven by computers the same size as a dragonfly's brain that capture some targets and avoid others. Personally, I'm hoping for a small army of these to defend my backyard from mosquitoes in the summer. The GPS on your phone could be replaced by a new navigation device based on dung beetles or ants that could guide you to the straight or the easy path home. And what would the power requirements of these devices be like? The human brain is estimated to have the same power requirements as a 20-watt light bulb. Imagine if all brain-inspired computers had the same extremely low power requirements. Your smartphone or your smartwatch probably needs charging every day. Your new brain-inspired device might only need charging every few months or maybe even every few years.
You know, computers touch us in all sorts of ways that we totally take for granted. But one resource that limits what computers can do today is being able to power them.
Yeah, and you mention a future scenario where maybe we wouldn't need to charge our devices every day. Maybe we could go months or even years. Could we potentially scale back big time from using all the energy we need right now to run massive servers and data centers all over the world?
Yeah, I think that it could have long-reaching impacts by decreasing just human carbon energy footprint on the world. Definitely. As it is, a lot of these data centers need to be next to some natural resource like a river to be able to generate enough power to use these algorithms like Google search. So I think that there's a lot of potential there that we may be able to bring that cost down.
So bring this back to what you do at Sandia for us. I mean, I know you can't get into the details, but when it comes to national defense, it makes me think of Israel's Iron Dome. And leaving aside the politics, is the aim to find ways to make missile defense systems like those more efficient?
Well, Sandia is interested in national security missions that requires a lot of computer power. I'm not necessarily going to talk about what those are, but you know, if we're doing our job, you won't necessarily see the impact of that. So being able to understand how neurons do what they do for low power means that the cost of each of these individual operations or the cost of each of these interactions of a human with, say, something in the cloud is going to come down. And so what I'm interested in is how the dragonfly brains are able to do this calculation with low power and really remarkably fast.
There is a debate about whether artificial intelligence can actually be intelligent. What about the dragonfly? Do you think of it as intelligent?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot of different definitions to what intelligence is. When I think about human intelligence, it's our ability to adapt or take in new information and behave differently based on new situations. For dragonflies, they're examples of neurons solving a task in what I would say is maybe even an optimized way. You know, the dragonfly has evolved to do this particular task very well, very fast, very efficiently. So I call them clever, you know, clever solutions. They're examples of what intelligence could produce.
That was computational neuroscientist Frances Chance. You can see her full talk at TED.com.